This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd. To our honored guest, Mulla Shamil, to the other ulama and imma and elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, Jamaat al-Muslimin, I greet you all with the universal greetings of love, mercy and peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, it gives me great pleasure and honor to introduce our guest speaker for today, Mulla Shamil. Mulla Shamil is a graduate of Darul Uloom in Azadville. And Mulla Shamil has been teaching at Mulla Taha Karan's Madrasa, the Darul Uloom in the Strand, for the last 17 years. And in fact, alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks due solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want Mulla Shamil to throw sand in my face, because the Prophet says, "Irmit turab fi wujul maddahin," throw sand in the face of the one who praises you. So we say all praise and thanks due solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mulla Shamil has been teaching a book that is very close to my heart, and that is the book of Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, known as Ihya Ulum al-Din, the revivification of the spiritual sciences. He's been teaching that book for as long as he's been at the Darul Uloom. And that particular book was the book, one of the first books that I purchased as a new Muslim. About 27 years ago, I bought it at the spice shop there in Cravenby. And I will never forget in the first book, which is Kitabul Ilm. Now the ulama, they say, if all the books of the Ummah had to be lost, except for Ihya Ulum al-Din, this is not speaking about the Quran, of course, but all the other books of the ulama had to be lost, except for Ihya Ulum al-Din, it would suffice the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously some mubalagha, some exaggeration in that, but this is how they view this great book of the revivification of the spiritual sciences. It was that book that inspired me in Kitab al-Ilm, the first book, or the first out of the all the chapters. The first chapter is Kitab al-Ilm, the book of knowledge. And I read the hadith of a beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman, sahhalallahu lahu bihi tariqan ila al-jannah." Whoever walks the path of knowledge, Allah will make easy for them the path to Jannah. And after reading that book, well, I never read the whole book, it's a very long book, but parts of that book, it was my inspiration for going to go and study the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are still studying. And the more we learn, the more we realize how little we know. So without any further ado, we welcome Mulla Shamil to Masjid al-Sunni. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen him, grant him good health, grant him long life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and cause him to be a benefit for the ummah of Muhammad salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. Falyatafaddal mashkura.
Alhamdulillahi wahda wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da wa ba'd. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أنزل الله داء إلا أنزل له شفاء علمه من علمه وجهله من جاهله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Alhamdulillah, Jamaatul Muslimin. First and foremost, we thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and send salutations on Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After we've done that, every human being in this world that Allah created, his entire existence goes through four marahil, four stages. Prior to this world, we were in a stage called Alamul Arwah. That time we were in, the ghaib was uncovered. And Allah asks us, Alastu bi Rabbikum? Everyone, even the kuffar, said yes. The present stage that we are in is called Alamud Dunya. And this is the most crucial stage to attain success in this very world, in the next. The third stage, which started the time of death, is called Alamul Barzakh, the interworld or the intermediary world. Predominantly, it's in the qabr, in the grave. But sometime, maybe a person drowned, the fish ate him, or maybe in an aeroplane crash, and it's in small pieces. But that's a particular world, the interworld it is called. The last and the final stage will start from Qiyamah, Alamul Akhirah. So to become successful in this world, this is called Darul Imtihan, the place of test. Today's discussion for this approximately 25-30 minutes, I will deal with the two main enemies. As Sheikh rightfully said, Imam Ghazali, rahimullah, most of what I will mention comes from that particular kitab or other similar books that he compiled to give myself and yourself the understanding how important it is. Like we study and learn everything else, the external a'mal of deen, we go for hajj, the entire year we learn babul hajj, it must be done. Salah, babu tahara, babu salah. Like we study that formally, the internal signs, the signs of the qalb and the heart and the nafs, it is equally important. By neglecting it, we can see what is happening on an individual basis in ourselves, the havoc that is taking place in our homes, nationally and internationally. Anyway, so the first of these enemies, it is shaitan. But shaitan is actually enemy number two. Allah in the Quran, we know when he disobeyed because of pride and arrogance, he was cast out of Jannah. And in the Quran, Allah says, in fact, he saw the respite. So in this stage that we are of this world, we need to understand who he is and what his traps and wiles are. Where he says, Rabbi, O my Lord, andirni ila yawmi yub'athun. Just give me respite, give me time. I will come in front, to their right, to their left, on your siratak al-mustaqim. So all of us are in a return journey towards Allah. On this journey, the two main enemies, number one, as Allah mentions in the Quran, it is shaitan. So this is what we need to realize, that shaitan is enemy number one. Allah in the Quran, Rasulullah also in hadith, and more so the ulama. In fact, Ibn al-Jawzi wrote an entire kitab about shaitan. He calls it Talbisu Iblis, the deception of shaitan, an entire book in detail concerning this enemy. If we look, for example, towards the shaitan, we find that a hadith speaks about where they are, the different places, they've got names. In Muslim, it comes an authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. Shaitanu Salah yusamma khanzab. At the time of Salah, there's a special shaitan appointed. He makes us forget how many rak'ats, what are we reading. He takes our mind around whilst we are conversing with Allah. His name is Khanzab. Then in Tirmidhi, there's a hadith that says, there's a shaitanul wudu at the time of abdas in wudu. Did I wipe my head? Did I wash this limb? Did I make the intention? Shaitanul Hudu yusamma al-Walahan. His name is Walahan. Then the great Mufassir of Quran, the great Imam Mujahid, he says for Shaitan, you've got Khamsa Aulad. You've got five children. And he mentions particularly where they are. He says where calamities are concerned. You know, at the time of calamity and difficulty strikes us, we complain about Allah, na'udhu billah. Various of things we say that might even affect our iman. The worst is suicide. His name is Tibar. Tibar is that shaitan at the time of calamity. He waswas and whispers in our ears. Then we find a shaitan is called, his name is Mabsut. This shaitan, he causes a person to lie all the time. Isn't it? We get professional liars. Everything, they conmen. They're experts. They have befriended Mabsut. Then we find another one. He's called Al-Awar. Literally, Awar means the one that's a bit blind, is a bit squint-eyed, a bit skeel. But that one is Sahibu Zina. He encourages from inside, nafs works with his shahwa and his desires, and from outside, shaitan, they meet up, and they encourage a person. And this is not only the full zina and fornication, but it is, in Bukhari, authentic hadith says, zina al-ayn, another. To look with the eye with lust and desires, that is also a form of zina. So this particular shaitan, mabsud, al-a'war, that is his job. And then there's a shaitan that we find at home. As iman aistukhan, skal mini fro, isn't that so? Small petty things, and they're arguing. That shaitan, his name is Dasim. Dasim, so remember if you go home and you're arguing with the wife, it's a Dasim, as Javier, his name is Dasim. He's causing us small petty things. We quarrel. Then there's a shaitan that causes us to do oppression. Look at the global scale or everywhere else. Zalnabur is that particular shaitan's name. So Rasulullah in the hadith and ulama have warned us and told us about this. In fact, when a person is born, an angel is appointed, and a shaitan, till we die, he will waswas and he will whisper. I've just, this morning in class, the last book Imam Ghazali wrote, Minhajul Abidin, you've got a section there speaking about shaitan. Some of the things I will quote here, that he says like an arrow, like rain, yamtur, it comes down, the waswas of shaitan, on every human's heart. Subhanallah. Anyway, so we need to understand, shaitan has got two types of traps. One is the siham, the arrows that come, what we call the whispers, waswasa of shaitan. But then you've got another trap, shabakat, al-nisa, haba'ilu shaitan. Haba'ilu shabakat means traps. You've set nets and traps for me and you at certain places. So one thing is he whispers, and secondly he puts up traps in order to lead myself and yourself astray. So how are we going to fight the shaitan? The ulama explained two things. Number one, ta'awudh. So many things we've heard, ta'awudh, seeking Allah's protection. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. But is that sufficient? A man will say, yes. Allah is the most powerful. I come to a person, I want to meet a person. The gate is maybe open. I'm on the way to the front door. There a big bulldog comes and is rushing for me. I can either take out my shoe and start fighting with this thing, or I can just shout, Uta Zubair, where are you, the dog? You will come, hey, go to the back, problem solved. So ta'awudh is directly when we gaze at Allah and say, oh Allah, I seek your protection from shaitan. Is that sufficient? Yes. But ulama say, with that mujahada is needed. Allah will test me and you. In all the battles, Nabi Sallam's crying would have been sufficient, but Allah wanted to test how much sabr they've got. Are they prepared to become shaheed? So many wounds on their bodies. So the test is also necessary with Allah's protection. In fact, Ihya, Imam Ghazali, have got a chapter under the marvels of the heart. He says there are approximately 15 entrances how shaitan will enter me and you. So isn't that an important discussion or a topic? We need to know which are those 15 things in order to know this is shaitan. He's whispering in my ears. Anyway, when a thought comes to the mind, and this discussion, Imam Ghazali, he have got in his, the last book Imam Ghazali wrote, Minhajul Abidin. He says, not everyone understand my Ihya. It is four thick volumes. Each volume consists of 10 books. It's not for everyone. Not everyone can understand it. He said, I made dua to Allah just before he passed away to give me a very easy way of making my reformation and the entire ummah. He says, فَأَلْزَمَنِي تَرْتِيبًا عَجِيبًا. Allah opened up a very easy tartib and sequence of reformation. Between us and Allah, he says, there's seven steep mountains. He calls it Aqabat, mountain trails. Under the third one, when he discusses shaitan, so things he opens up in there, Imam Ghazali doesn't open up in his Ihya. So he says, when a thought comes to the mind, remember, this is our enemy. Allah says it's our enemy. He will lead us to a place like Jahannam. So we need to study who he is, how he works and operates. So the ulama explained, when a thought comes to the mind, how are we going to decipher and check, is this a good thought or a bad thought? How are we going to check? They give us three things. Ghazali says, mawazin thalatha. There are three scales you need to put your thought on. Number one, that thought that is coming to my mind, put it on the scale, the mizanu sharia. Does it come anywhere in the Quran? Allah Ta'ala telling me, don't do this, do this. Does it come anywhere in the ahadith? In other words, my deen, governed by Quran and hadith, what does it say? And 99% of our thoughts is governed by Sharia and by Deen. So that is scale number one. There we will say, no, that goes against Sharia. I will not do that. I will not say that. Number two, if you don't find it there, which is rare, Ghazali says, you put it on the scale. The second one is, you put it on the scale, you see the Ahlul Haqq of the ulama and the salihin, what is their practice? Not everything in detail is there in the Quran and Hadith, but the ulama ul haqq of truth and the salihin of haqq and truth that are following Quran and Hadith, they've got certain practices and things in their lives. If that thing, that thought which is coming, saying do that particular thing, say that particular thing, it might not be there directly in Quran and Hadith, but the people of haqq are doing it, so he says that is also a good thought. Number three, if it's not there, what do we do? He says, put it on the scale of your nafs, your lowly self, your baser self, because Allah has molded and created the nafs, naturally is inclined towards evil. So if the nafs want to do that thing, know well that that is a bad thought. Subhanallah. Who would have ever thought about this? Then he goes further, listen to this. He says, now how will you check and decipher and see, is this thought that is coming to my mind an evil thought? Now you need to break up the evil thought. Because the evil thought can either come from shaitan or it can come from nafs as well. Yes, you need to know the source because that is how you'll have to combat the evil thought. He gives them one usul, a main usul he gives. He says, if an evil thought comes and goes, taraddudan is the Arabic word, intermittent. You get the evil thought, watch this evil. Listen to this evil, this wrong. You know, commit that sin. So then you say, astaghfirullah, you change your position, you do something else. After 2-3 minutes, he comes back. Watch that evil, do that evil, say that evil. And you say, so when it's intermittent, that evil thought comes and goes, the source of it is shaitan. And then he says, if the evil thought is there in the mind and it stays there, it is permanent, it is persistent, it doesn't go away. Isn't it many a times you want to maybe look somewhere you're not supposed to look, you want to do something you're not supposed to do, then you say, astaghfirullah, and you start, what does the hadith say? Make dhikr, it chases shaitan away. Then you make dhikr over and over, but after a few minutes you do that evil deed. Then you thought, but I then made dhikr, what happened? So Ghazali says, what happened? Shaitan is gone. It came from your nafs. Inside yourself, your nafs told you to do that particular. Shaitan is gone. Your dhikr is chasing. You can have dhikr on the tongue, but your gaze is still going somewhere. Because it's coming from, the source of it is your nafs. Anyway, he says a good thought likewise. When the good, dominantly, predominantly the good thoughts, it is coming from the angel. He's appointed for that. So he says when good thoughts comes and goes, it's intermittent likewise. It comes and it goes. It's from the angel. But if that good thought to do a good deed, it's strong in the mind. It is persistent and it stays there. It doesn't go away. It drives you till you do that deed. Know well, it is directly from Allah without the intervention of the angel. Subhanallah. Then he says there's a good thought that comes from shaitan as well. Istidrajan. He wants to lure you to a bigger evil. So he engages you in this good deed. Seemingly it's a good deed. But one step leads to the other and you fall in sin, you fall in wrong. May Allah protect us. The last point under shaitan, subhanallah. Ghazali in this kitab in Hajjul Abidin, he says, our entire deen, every ta'ah, every good deed of deen, every amal as-salih, shaitan have got 7 traps. And if you look at these 7 traps, all of it is in Quran and Hadith. There's no timing to go into the Quran and Hadith part of it, but I will mention to you these 7 traps. Number one, shaitan, when you want to do a good deed, he tells you, don't do the good deed. Don't do the good deed. Do something else. Then he gives us how to do the rebuttal, how to fight him. Tell him, no, this is my provision for the akhirah. I need this. We need to fight him. He gives us detailed solution how to do that. Now we win the battle. I'm going to do this good deed. I need it for the akhirah. Now he comes with the second trap. That is tasweef, procrastinate. Don't do it now. It's okay. Do it tomorrow. Then we need to fight him. No, I cannot leave it for tomorrow. Tomorrow he's got his own set of deeds. I won't have time tomorrow. In that way we fight him. If he fails, shaitan comes with a third trap. Ajala. And that comes in many ahadith.
Al-anatu min Allah wal-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. He tells you, okay, do the deed, but do it hastily. Do it quickly. Do it quickly. So in that way, that ruh and the qualities, how we're supposed to do that good deed, it is not to be found. So that is a trap of shaitan. If we fail and we say, no, this particular good deed, this ibadah, I'm going to do properly. I'm not going to let you overpower me. I'm going to do it firmly and properly. Then it comes with a fourth trap. Mura'atan linnas. You are pious. You fought shaitan. You are doing the good deed. People must know who you are, how pious you are. Riya'an, showing off and showing people. There we need to fight him. And we need to tell him, my reward is not with the people. I'm doing it only for Allah. My Allah is looking, whether people are looking or not, I'm doing it for Allah. If he fails, he comes with a fifth trap, and that is ujb. Ujb means self-conceitedness. One is we look down upon people, which is kibr. I'm better than them. One thing is we don't look down upon people. But I'm a Mr. Someone. It's called egoism. My abilities, my strength, my wealth, my this, my degrees, me, myself, and I. So that is called egoism. I'm not necessarily we look down upon others, which is worse. It's called kibr and pride. It is ujb. Now he thinks, I'm so great, shaitan. He makes us feel, I'm not doing it for the people. I'm only doing it for Allah. That is who I am, how strong I am. He comes with that trap. Ghazali says if he fails, there is another trap, especially for those deeds, number 6, that is done in secrecy. We do many things in secrecy, isn't that so? We give sadaqah here, we help this neighbor of ours here, we help this friend there. We do many good deeds. In the mid of the night, we stand up for taha. So many deeds, and a lot of these deeds involve a lot of sacrifice, whether it's monetary, whether it's physical, psychological, whatever it is. So now at the end of the day, you've done that particular, you're giving every time this person in secrecy money, for example, or you're doing that thing, and you think, but the man is not appreciating it. Or you think, why must I make so? This is now shaitan. Why must I do all this sacrifice? They're not even appreciating it. I hope, inshallah, it will come out. So somehow shaitan will want us that people must indirectly, directly find out about our good deeds. So we need to fight him, shaitan, these deeds in secrecy, I've done only for Allah. How can you come here? You iblis, you shaitan, you are even coming in my ikhlas. Then Ghazali says if he fails, there's a last trap. The last trap is, he tells you, that good deed that you want to do, it's sunnah, it is nafal, it is small. You did so many good deeds. Last week you made someone Muslim. You gave 10,000 to the masjid. You helped someone in their marriage problem. For example, big deeds. So this small deed is nothing. You've got enough. Or on the other hand, we commit sins. Then he tells you, what is this good deed going to do? It's so small. I've got this in my life. I've got that evil in my life. This is small. This is not going to benefit. Ghazali says, that is also from shaitan. Tell him, shaitan, even if I'm a sinner, it's better for me, Ghazali says, to go to Jahannam with a good deed, it might take me out of Jahannam. An extra good deed, he says, it might be 50-50, Jannah or Jahannam. That one good deed might be the means of me tilting into Jannah. So imagine these 7 traps, every good deed that we have got, subhanAllah. Anyway, so those were just few things to give us the importance of the topic I said. We need to study and understand who the shaitan is. But greater than shaitan is our nafs. Imam Ghazali rahimullah, he says, why is this nafs greater? This nafs is, shaitan became shaitan because of his nafs, he says. There was no one. It is his nafs that deceived him. Kibar and pride from inside that deceived him. And he says, nafs, shaitan we can blow away. He will come back all the time, but he will leave us and he comes like he flows in our blood. He looks for our weaknesses. He says, but nafs, we can't do that. It is our matiyah. It is our, it's like a body and the body and the soul. Can our body, our ruh separate from the body in this world? No. That is called death. No more we in this world. So he says, likewise, the nafs is inside our ruh. It cannot separate from the body. Quran says there are 3 types of nafs. The worst is nafsul ammara bisu, that excessively, incessantly you do evil and you don't care a damn about it. The middle type of nafs, Ghazali says most of the ummah and the Muslims are in this category. It is called nafsul amma, nafsul lawama. Lawama means the reproaching nafs. In ourselves, we find we've got this nur. half of it or more or less, there's nur. And that nur causes us to do good deeds. We make salah, dhikr, tilawa, give sadaqah, good deeds. But then because purification didn't take place, there's a dark side in our nafs. So when any deed goes against the nafs, then the dark side kicks in and we give in. But you think, Ya Allah, why did I do that? Why did I look at that? Why did I say that? You feel guilty. Now that guilt that comes afterwards is that nafsul lawama that is reproaching you, that is rebuking. Why did you do that? You a haji, you a this, you so to say people respect and honor you. Why did you do? So that is the middle category. And the ideal nafs, nafsul mutama'inna, that is the purified nafs. Anyway, there's just few things I would like to say about this nafs. 2 points. So that is the 1 point. Imam Ghazali, when he stresses, we need to understand who this nafs is and how important it is to study the nafs, because he's greater than shaitan even. He says, you know, in his introduction of explaining to us who nafs is, he says, listen to this, every sin and disobedience of Allah, every, he uses the Arabic words and translating it, every sin, every evil, every vice, every transgression, every oppression, every lust, you name the type of evil and wrong, and you add on. It is because primarily, the asli says the foundation and the root, it is our nafs. He says from the first Nabi Adam alayhi salam, from that time, right till Qiyamah, it will be our nafs. So he says you need to understand who this nafs is, and you need to fight him. That's why Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّى. Successful are those in this world. In fact, the next point I'm going to explain, Ghazali says every human being, Allah will test us. In our nafs, and this is the last topic, the section of the Jumu'ah, he says in every human being, where the nafs is concerned, Allah will test everyone. And we find there are 4 shades of sins. Some of us have got one of it, some of us have got more, some of us have got all of it. So as I will end of the Jumu'ah with these few shades that we find in our nafs, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah wrote an entire book, Adda wa Dawa, and he mentions this. Prior to him, Imam Ghazali, quite a few places in Ihya, he mentions the shades of sin and how Allah will test every human being. When I will mention it and we listen, do I have this particular thing in me, this evil or this sin? Or this weakness, you know, they call it the skeleton in my cupboard. Do I have this that no one knows about? If it's there, Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Successful are those people in this world, they purify. I've got this evil in me. I need to make a rigorous effort and sacrifice in mujahada, and I need to purify it. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Because Allah says, if you're going to leave it like that, what can I do? This is in me, it's a weakness, it's fitna fasad, I can't help. If you're going to leave it, we're going to be in destruction, Allah says. So number one, he calls it sifat. In our nafs, there are certain qualities. The first one, as-sifat sabu'iyah. A sabu is a predator. What is the job? The predator kills. A lion, whoever it is, his job is to kill. He doesn't care about the prey that he wants to kill. He wants to eat him or just kill him. Isn't that so? He goes and he kills. So Ghazali says we find human beings, we've got this predatory qualities in us. He says, ghadab, anger, first on the list. We become very angry and we start swearing the person and physically, emotionally abusing, whether it's the wife or whoever it is, anger. He speaks about shatam, swearing. When a person many times becomes angry, he starts swearing. He says, darb, we physically harm other people. Whoever it is, wherever it is, we find in our city, there's so much detail. In our country, on a global level, where the oppression is taking, it's killing. It's oppression that is taking. It is because this evil in them kicked in their nafs, and they are prepared to kill people, and they don't care about it. So that is number one, right? That we harm others. So not everyone is like that, but we find some people don't care when they just say something to someone, then they break the person's heart. He's broken. He's shattered. Or they do something physically and in whichever way. So that is the first category that we find. Category number two, he says, as-sifat shaytaniya. Shaytan, what does he do? Al-amr bil fahsha. He commands to immorality and sin. not towards good deeds. So we find human beings like that. They also encourage the friends. They encourage the others to do evil deeds. But you've got special qualities of hasad, of jealousy. You've got qualities of makr, khida, and he's deceiving. He's a con man. We find bogus collectors. We find con men. They are masters at it. Whether it's on a national level, they are masters. They've got a degree on how to steal. Degrees of how to steal. Imagine more than 700 cases. You need a degree for that to come away with it. Anyway, so one is that second category, which is a sifat shaitaniya. People are cunning. They are shrewd. They are all the time deceiving others. They command to evil. That is a shaitani quality. Number three, a sifat rububiya. Allah is our Rabb. But we want to steal that. Allah alone is, we say, Subhan Rabbi al-Azim in ruku, Subhan Rabbi al-A'la. Only Allah is alone. But now we want to say, kibir, pride, arrogance, istila, isti'la, monopolize. My business alone will run here. We run everyone else down. It's happening internationally, locally, everywhere else. So this pride and kibir and arrogance, We find people like that, isn't it? They're full of arrogance. They don't want to listen to others. I'm better than him. I've got more money. I've got more brains. I've got more this. And we look down. That is kibir. A person had like nice shoes. Ya Rasulullah, is this pride? I like nice expensive shoes. Nabi Sallam said, no. Batarul haq. You cannot eat it when someone rectifies you. Wa ghamtu nas. You look down upon others. That is pride. Anyway, the last of these four is, and Ghazali says, most of the ummah, it is in this one. As-sifat bahimiya, animalistic qualities. Shahwatul batan and shahwatul farj. We live to eat. Everything is about eating, like a hola, you know, like a glutton. We just want to eat. Worse than that is shahwatul farj, sexual desires. And under this, Ghazali have got an array of things. He says, zina number one. And he says, don't just think it's actual zina. Some people says, no, I'm married, I will not make zina. Zina al-ayn, another. He says, Bukhari says, the zina of the eye, if you look with lust, it is also a form of zina because there's gratification, there's satisfaction of the nafs in that. So he says, that is also zina. And in a hadith it comes, if you lower the gaze out of the fear of Allah, then Rasulullah says, halawatul iman. Allah replaces with the sweetness of iman. Muhaddithun say, why does Rasulullah use the word halawa? Halawa means a sweetness. They say because in looking there's a sweetness, Allah replaces it with iman. Anyway, but there's one particular one I will end off that Ghazali speaks under the shahwatul. Those are common things. The desire is things we look at with shahwa, etc. But Ghazali mentions it, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah mentions it, al-liwata. Same-sex desires. Is it there? Yes. No, instead of just telling the people, it is wrong, it is haram, what does the ulama say? There's detailed explanation. This is not the time for it. That particular, in the time of Nabi Lut, alayhi salam, I will just give you the gist of it. A complete cure. You know, like every physical illness, we go to the doctor, A to Z, we get treatment. You come to homosexuality, the ulama says six things. Number one, acknowledgement. That this is wrong. Allah told Nabi Lut alayhi salam, tell the people this is wrong. Here are the daughters of my ummah. So Allah created us. Allah is testing us. Allah will not burden us beyond us. It is something they explained. It's acquired. It wasn't there. It is acquired. There's debate amongst the researchers in this field. Some say it's an innate quality. Some say it's an acquired quality. I read one article, ironically, those that were homo in the sexuality, they says, no, it is an innate quality. It was inborn. Others said, no, it's an acquired quality. Allah is saying it's an acquired quality. Allah who created us. So that is point number one. It is an acquired quality. So you need to realize it's wrong. Now there's a room for improvement. Some try to justify it. So this is number one. Number two, dua. We don't know. Allah is testing us with the illness. Allah is the one that can remove it overnight. So we don't know the power of dua. Number three, tawbah. Tawbah, you've got steps. You need to stay away from those people, those places, watching those things, looking at anything that will entice you. There's a whole program where tawbah is concerned. Number four, like Nabi Lut alayhi salam, that he told these people, nikah. But we find some even in nikah, they see, ya Allah, I'm fulfilling my desires here, but my gaze are going there. The treatment is not complete. Number five, khawfullah. There's a special nur in iman called Allah's fear. When that khawfullah's nur comes, there's a method how to acquire it. It puts brakes on your nafs. You will stop doing this sin. But a person cannot put brakes for the rest of his life. He need to flip that desires. He need to change it. The last quality needed is called mahabbatullah, the love of Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah, he mentions that quality, mahabbatullah, it's like a scale. At the moment, he says, when a person commits any sin, look at this particular sin, that the shahwa, the false love, it is dominant, it is there. So even if a person doesn't want to do it, he's going to do it. He needs to flip the coin, the scale, and he needs to make Allah's love dominant. He says it's like a tumor over the brain. That desire he had at the wrong place, Allah will remove it and it will go to the right place. So may Allah Ta'ala give all of us understanding of nafs and shaitan. There's a lot to learn about nafs and shaitan and how they are deceiving us. So particularly I was requested to give a Jumu'ah in the masjid to invite towards a particular program next week in Parkwood, Maulana Dawood, Samson's Masjid. There will be a talk on the very same topic of reformation in Islam, how important it is in our lives. Various of speakers from South Africa, Johannesburg, Durban, Port Elizabeth and Cape Town. It will start, I think, Thursday, Maghrib time, until Sunday morning. So various of ulama, various of spiritual doctors will give encouragement to us. Those of us that have got any free moments, any free minutes, come inshallah and partake of the programs. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us the understanding and the ability to rectify our nafs before Malakul Maut comes. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من لم يشكر الناس لم يشكر الله Our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says whoever doesn't thank people doesn't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala So we'd like to give a heartfelt thanks to Mullah Shamil for that subhanallah There's not enough time We want more time But alhamdulillah as Mullah said there'll be a whole long weekend program at Masjid al-Sabr. What's it, Masjid? Masjid al-Sabr? Yeah, the Masjid in Parkwood, Mullah Dawood Samson is. Inshallah ta'ala, we can further our knowledge about how to protect ourselves from these enemies, the nafs and shaitan. As the poet says, إِنِّي بُلِيتُ بِأَرْبَعٍ يَرْمُونَنِي بالنبل أن قوس لها توتير إبليس والدنيا والنفس والهوى يا رب إنك على الخلاص قدير Indeed, I am tested with four great enemies, the poet says, like four arrows shot from the strongest bow, Iblis, Shaytan, dunya, material trappings, the nafs, the lower self, and hawa, the whims and the fancies. Ya Rabbi, innaka ala al-khalasi qadiru. Oh Allah, you are the only one that can empower me and strengthen me to shield myself from those enemies. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Mullah Shamil long life in the obedience of Allah, benefiting the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, 17 years at Darul Uloom in the Strand. May Allah grant him another 17 and more inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hopefully he can come back and benefit us again one day soon in the near future. Jazakumullah khairan. ونحبك في الله we love you for the sake of Allah والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
الحمد لله القائل قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها فنحمده حمدا كثيرا كلما يحمده الحامدون ونشكر شكرا جميلا كلما يشكر شاكرون ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له شهادة تنفعنا يوم القيامة يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي يغبطه الأولون والآخرون صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه صلاة وسلاما دائمتين متلازمتين إلى يوم يجمع الأولون والآخرون أما بعد فيا أيها الناس أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون ويقول الله عز وجل إن الشيطان لكم عدو فاتخذوا عدوا إنما يدعو حزبه ليكون من أصحاب السعير وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أنزل الله داء إلا أنزل له شفاء علمه من علمه وجهله من جهله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول وبقول يهدي المهتدون هذا وأحثكم على طاعة الله وطاعة رسوله ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد خسر وغوى وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين ويا نجاة التائبين الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يديه الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون ويقول الله عز وجل يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة وقال الله تعالى أيضا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواج وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حيان عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسولي اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا وعن كل صحابة أجمعين رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحب أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغض أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من الفعل والقول والنية والهدي، إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر من نصر دين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وجعلنا منهم. اللهم أصلح شباب المسلمين، اللهم أصلح نساء المسلمين، اللهم أصلح رجال المسلمين، اللهم أصلح جميع أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجيب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة، straighten the safs, kneel on the line.